we're definitely in the changing of the seasons. Praise God. Very thankful for that. Influence is what makes up leadership. And leadership experts have defined it as such and have been very definitive about it by saying influence, no more, no less. And obviously, that influence can be put upon you or it can be put out by you. That's why the power of the Spirit of God is in you to be greater than he that is in the world, because there's definite influence coming from that direction all around you. But thank God the power of the Spirit of the Lord can be both an influence for you and by you to do a good work for God. We're going to look at a couple of ladies in the scripture, queens, actually, and take a look at their influence, Esther and Jezebel. Now, the scripture says in Proverbs 18:22, our focus verse, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Notice that, a good thing and favor. And that that finding would indicate a search, not simply by human standards, but for a spiritual element to enter in as well, because God knows the end from the beginning. And I don't know what's coming next week. I have plans, I have ideas, but the actual fulfillment of those, who knows? And things can change very, very rapidly. And that's why we got to hold to the hand of one who never changes and be blessed by him. And thank God for what we're able to receive. The focused thought brings out that women are often great influencers. In fact, I contend that it's the mother in the home that establishes the atmosphere. The man is the authority, the man is the leader, he leads in love, but the woman is largely responsible, the wife, the mother, largely responsible for the overall atmosphere that is in the home. Is it going to be chaos and confusion? Or is it going to be ordered and directed and so on? Not like a concentration camp, of course, but in an atmosphere of love and the blessings of the Lord that would come as well. So the focus thought brings out its godly ends are met by some and some less than righteous ends. And that's putting it mildly as far as Jezebel is concerned, much less than righteous. And that's the overall problem that is there for how we contrast these two individuals. A mother's influence, a father's influence, a believer's influence, all of you. Leaders from that standpoint. Being able to lead someone into Scripture, lead someone into the new birth experience, lead someone into being established in the Word of God and in the house of the Lord. Being able to lead in that regard, I think, is very important for the kingdom of God. Now, we're familiar with a phrase, and I think you can finish it for me if I state the first portion, and here it is. You be ready to finish it now. If mama ain't happy. How'd you know that? That's a common enough phrase. And What it means is the influence that's there is going to permeate the whole household. Now, happiness is a choice, isn't it? You can choose to be happy. Paul said, I think myself happy. And you can choose to be happy, or you can choose to, you know, just be biting everybody's head off and just being a total negative influence. But the hand of God is to lift you up and to bring you above life situations. Life situations can be hard. Paul enumerates some of the things that he went through in 2 Corinthians 11, and you wonder how in the world he could say, after reading that list of things that he went through, how can he say, rejoice? Again, I say, rejoice. Sounds like he's deranged. They have that kind of an attitude with being shipwrecked and being beaten and being whipped and being stoned and all of the different things that he's gone through. But he knows it's the power of God that will keep you and lift you up above those things. You know, we emphasize victory, and thank God we can. But sometimes I think we want to skip the battle and jump right into victory. Doesn't work that way, does it? There's going to be some battle and maybe even battering on your spirit, your soul. But all the fiery darts of the enemy can be quenched by the shield of faith. All of them. Praise God. And that's the power we're able to step into. Let me ask you here, just to, from your memory of Scripture and women in Scripture, just name some influential characters that you can recall from the Word of God. We're talking about two here now with Jezebel and Esther, but there are many, many others.
Abigail.
Okay. Abigail kept her foolish husband from being slaughtered by David.
Martha,
a hard worker. A little controlling, but a hard worker. Who else?
Mary.
Yeah, and there are several Marys. And, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary Magdalene. And different ones that are included there. Okay. And her good works. Ruth, did I hear? You know, Ruth is has influenced the English language. Ruth less has connection to Ruth in the Bible.
Yeah, right.
To be ruthless,
yeah.
To be without Ruth. But and to describe that, you know, that situation. Brother Steve?
Sarah.
The one who brought forth the heir and influenced the whole spiritual realm, everything. Amazing. Amazing influence. And there's some that are lesser known than others and some that are well known. But nonetheless, that influence is definitely a part of what we know about them and how they exerted that influence. Now, we'll focus on these two queens, Esther and Jezebel. And it's kind of interesting how many times in the Hebrew, their names are changed. Her name was Hadassah, and it got changed to Esther. Daniel's name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can't even remember their Hebrew names. Those are the Babylonian names. Interesting how the names got changed. But their character didn't change. What they were on the inside didn't change. And the Lord help us that there may be some name calling of you as a Christian, you as a believer, you as a follower of God. And our society is becoming less and less friendly to the Christian belief. But that doesn't change who we are on the inside as far as how God has changed us on the inside. And thank the Lord, there's that constant presence of the Lord to minister to us and to help us to be brought into his presence. Remember, we won't spend a whole lot of time on the story of Esther, but we know there were some amazing changes, kingdom-wide changes, that were instituted to bring her to the forefront. The Lord knows how to orchestrate things. It may seem coincidental. It may seem like, well, that's how man decided and determined things and so on. But I really think the Lord was working to bring Esther to the foreground and providing a way that she would be in place to exercise her influence. She was a chosen above all, and apparently the narrative of Esther would include quite a few women from the kingdom who were selected to come and audition, I guess, as to who was going to be queen. And now we know she was chosen and above all others. So that gives us an idea of how this valuable this young woman was in the kingdom of God. Probably, well, yeah, she was inexperienced. She had to learn how to function in the palace and how to be the queen and so on. Elevated to a privileged position almost overnight. Well, it was a year, but amazing how she was able to step into that. Jezebel, on the other hand, boy, her direction was never upward in terms of spiritual things, in terms of serving one God and putting him first and so on. She was born into royalty. Her father was a king. And yet she chose to go the wrong direction. Now, she's kind of a product of her environment, though, too, because her father's name is Ethbaal, which the translation there is Baal's man. You know, Baal, the idol, the idol's man. He was an idolater. And that's what Jezebel grew up with. Oh, boy, the influence, again, of a mom and dad, how important that is for the kingdom of God and to do the work of the Lord. Now, she marries Ahab, and Ahab has the distinction of verse 30 in your text. Take a look. He did evil above all. What a difference in the use of that term, above all. Here's Esther chosen above all the others from the kingdom, and here's Ahab doing evil above all that came before him. See, were they destined that way? Did they have no say? Was the choice already made for them? No. You can choose. And obviously, they made their choices as well. And it was definitely a darkness in terms of spiritual things, a lack of light that they lived in. And and she's not the only one. Remember, there's a woman named Athaliah, and she married Jehoram, the king of Judah. And he allowed her to bring Baal worship to Jerusalem. And after her son Ahaziah died, what did Athaliah do? You know, grandkids, so special, so wonderful. so much a treasure. You know what she did to her grandkids? She murdered them. She didn't want any competition to the throne. Now that is darkness. That is terrible. A terrible exercise of influence. But yet, that's an indication of how strong the influence can be. And how careful we have to be in making sure we're following through in the direction that God has for us. The main difference, the chief difference between these two women, Jezebel and Esther, is how they used their influence. Esther ends up saving the nation. Jezebel continues her downward spiral, killing and intending to kill the man of God. And it just is a real clear picture of influence for good versus influence for evil. And so let's spend a few minutes here looking at Esther and how she was brought to a place of influence. She was told by her cousin Mordecai, if you want to exercise your influence in a way that will preserve the nation, then it can work that way. But if you keep silent, I like the way he says, deliverance will arise. You know, that real well-known scripture, probably the most known scripture from the book of Esther. Who knows but whether thou art come for the kingdom for such a time as this? And that's probably the phrase that is most known when you consider the name Esther. But Mordecai prophesies. He prophesies. He says, deliverance will arise. If you choose to hold your peace, God's going to work it out anyway. But if you step forward and do the work that you are in place to do, then there's going to be power and victory. Talk about the power of one. Sometimes we feel like, I'm just one. I can't do anything. I can't be that kind of influence. I can't make any difference. Esther may have had those thoughts going through her head. She may have. Because remember, when she comes before the king, he's got to extend the scepter to her to show favor, to show that she's welcome. Otherwise, it's going to be disastrous results. And so she may have been thinking a lot of negative things, and concern and worry and anxiety and so on. But yet, she was willing to step forward. And I trust that we're willing to step forward and be that one. Like the old saying, you know, how does it go? You may be just one in the world, but you may be the world to one. And your influence then becoming very important. So Mordecai's words, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And that bolstered her, that encouraged her, that helped her to step out and say, okay, we're going to fast. Me and my maidens are going to fast. You have everybody that you know fast. Then I'm going to go before the king. And she had she didn't just go and blurt it out and say, there's a murderous conspiracy against much of your kingdom, king. No, she was wise. She knew what to do. Now, if you look at Esther 2 and 22, remember there's those two guys that had an assassination attempt on the king. And Mordecai and Esther were involved in revealing the conspiracy. And those two guys were punished. So Esther and Mordecai's names are already known to the king. They've already had an exposure, obviously, Esther and her part, to the goodwill of the king. And so she has her opportunity to come before the king, have an audience with him, and instead of just laying it out and saying, this is what's going on, she invited him to a special meal. Now, here's another saying that that you can finish for me. You ready? A way to a man's heart. Did Esther write that? I don't know. But she used it. Said, we're going to have a special meal. We're gonna just provide for you, King. This is for your benefit, for your pleasure, and so on. And then she had another banquet, and she invited the one who was leading the opposition, leading the persecution of the Jewish nation, invited him as well. And we see things beginning to unfold, things beginning to come about, and it's coming down to that point, you know, to that peak of, okay, here's the problem. Here's what's going on. And we need for you to intervene. And I like the way in the text she focuses on the king and what he wants. In one of the verses there, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes. Notice how she's totally focused on the king. It's all about you, king. And the threat is on her. The annihilation could happen in just a matter of weeks, if not days, that she and all of her nation are going to be executed. But she's focusing on the king. I hope that there's some kind of spiritual application there that we understand that it is all about him. Amen. We're quick to bring our needs. We're quick to cry out to the Lord, and that's good. His ear is open to the cry of the righteous, the Bible says. But we serve him, and we live for him. We obey him. We want to please him. Praise God. And not get so self-centered that it's all about me. Easy to do that because we're human. But I think Esther's example is really good. If it please you, King, if it's in your favor, King, if it's right in your eyes, King. And I think we can do that just like Jesus did. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. And so that kind of blessing, that kind of power is what the Lord desires to reveal to us. Now, here's another interesting portion of Scripture. Let's go ahead and turn there. I don't know that it's in the text. Ah, it is in the text. Verse 11. Verse 5 is the part about if it pleased the king and so on. Verse 11, the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life. You know, stand up. And goes on here, to destroy, to stay, and to cause to perish. Sounds like a legal document, doesn't it? All the power of the people and the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Fight back. Don't be a victim. Yeah. Be willing to step up, step forward, yeah. Step forth, and stand for God and to do his work. And that's the word that she requested from the king, and the king gave it to her. Now, the king had been duped. Remember, he'd been manipulated into signing this document that Haman came out with, and it's law. It's there, and so he's kind of stuck. But Esther is able to use her influence to work the reverse of that and bring about a change that would benefit not just her. And that was what Mordecai told her. You think you can hide behind your title of a queen? You think you're safe because you're in the palace? No, no, no. Your life is on the line too. And so that's how she was willing to step forward and do that work. And that's why we say it wasn't just when Esther stepped forward that God's hand began to be displayed. No, we said way before, when the whole mess with Vashti came about, and the king in his anger dismissing her and causing a search through the kingdom, who is going to be qualified and who is going to be chosen to be the king. The Lord was working way before this. And we've got to have confidence. God knows your circumstances. God knows your situations. God knows what's going on behind the scenes. It's like that song, Brother Mike. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Praise God. And the Lord is bringing about his power. Hallelujah. He is a miracle worker. He is that light in the darkness. Praise God. And Esther had faith to believe that, and the Lord would bring about that change. And thank God the change was powerful. They went from sorrow to joy. They went from mourning into proclaiming a good day. And that feast is still celebrated today, isn't it? Is it called Purim? And they celebrate what happened in the history with Esther and how she was able to step forward. Okay, now let's take a look at Jezebel. I almost hate to. But again, we have to, because influence is important. And how you exert your influence is important, because it can be good or it can be bad. Now, Jezebel opened up the door for idolatrous worship and promoted it. It was a champion of it caused the people of God to hide in caves and be fed with bread and water, and Elijah to be isolated and so on. But thank the Lord, God would provide his blessing and his way to lift Elijah up. And again, the power of one, right? The power of one. Jezebel, with her evil influence, with her total devotion to idolatry and her hatred of things that were right and serving God, but yet one, Elijah, stepping forward and making the challenge. Let the God who answers by fire be God. Now, if God didn't answer by fire, Elijah wouldn't have made it down the mountain. He wouldn't have been able to outrun the wrath of Jezebel. She'd have eliminated him, just like she had done so many others. But praise God, we know the outcome of one who was willing to stand for their faith and their belief in God and the recognition of what the Lord is able to do. But even after answered by fire, even after the rain fell for the first time in 3.5 years, and Elijah outran the chariot of Ahab. My goodness, what an incredible display of God's power. And those three demonstrations of how the Lord can provide and minister. Elijah is depressed, discouraged, despair. All of those difficulties. But again, God steps in. God dispatches the angel. God provides for him. God leads him. And God enables him to anoint three individuals who are going to bring an end to Jezebel's influence and make a change, hopefully, for the kingdom of God. Now, the story of Naboth gives a particular example of how Jezebel was able to exert her influence for evil purposes. The king had, you know, he saw this field of Naboth. It was close to his palace. He thought that would be excellent for a garden, be a nice place for me to relax. I'd be able to walk and smell the flowers, and there would be produce, and perfect. I would like it. Naboth, sell that to me. But Naboth, to his credit, recognized this is my inheritance. This is what has been in my family for years. I can't sell it. Even if I wanted to, I can't. It's my inheritance. And Ahab went to bed. He pouted. Turned his face to the wall. Jezebel, his wife, comes in and says, "What are you doing? Aren't you the king? Aren't you the one who can, you know, say and obtain and grab and so on?" And so she did the work of false witnesses, and poor Naboth dragged out and stoned, and then she came back and says, "Arise, the land's yours." Well, that's when the prophet stood forth, and the prophecy was not good. We like to hear prophecy. We like to hear the man of God speak and encouraging words and direction and uplifting and so on. But judgment? The Lord gives us a chance to repent, and we thank God for that. But, boy. And Jezebel did not turn. She did not recognize the opportunity she had to repent, to make a change, to make a difference in her life. And sure enough, the words of Elijah were fulfilled, and she was killed, and the dogs licked her blood, and so on. Just a real grisly scene there. But the word of God will be fulfilled. Amen. And that's what we've got to understand, that live by the word of God, to treasure the word of God, to obey the word of God, is going to bring about results that no devil in hell can stop, can hold back. Amen. He's going to be thrown down into the lake of fire. You are going to be rising to walk in streets of gold. Praise God. And thank the Lord for that power and that blessing that we're able to understand and recognize and hold on to, praise God, and to be blessed by the hand of the Lord, praise God. That brings us to a scripture from Proverbs 31, Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Let's have a reader here. Someone read. For the mic, you got Proverbs 31, verse 10. Okay, that looking again, that search, a virtuous woman, going to find that one. Her price is far above rubies. I don't know where rubies stand as far as the value of gems, but I imagine it's pretty high. Truly?
Yes, they're rare. A real ruby.
Wow. That's why the scripture uses that comparison, I guess. All right. Pretty good, huh? Now, what I thought of when I read that is the price that this virtuous woman was willing to pay. She was willing to pay the price of being virtuous. The world is clamoring. The world is saying, "You got to look like this. You got to dress like that. You got to, you know, you got to act like," and so on. And virtue, unknown in Hollywood, don't know how to spell it, much less know what it means. Just completely gone in their portrayals of women, and men for that matter. But the price of a virtuous woman. And then all the other attributes that are mentioned in Proverbs 31. She's willing to pay that price. She's willing to make that that difference in her household and in her community and her circle of friends and so on. All those godly attributes, those godly characteristics, she's willing to pay the price to be described in that manner. Let me pay honor to our women here today and thank you for your willingness to be virtuous. Amen. That's right. They deserve a good hand. Amen. Thank you for your willingness to dress modestly. Thank you for your willingness to obey the scripture regarding your hair and your influence in your home and in your marriage and all of that. The virtuous woman, praise God, and the influence that's there. Far different from what Jezebel has said. And the sad thing is, and I can't remember where the scripture is, but there's a Jezebel Jr. that just continues on her legacy. It's terrible, the influence that she had. And but yet the power of one, to choose the good things, the right things, the blessed things of the Lord that they could do in their walk with God. An entire nation was rescued by Esther. And when they celebrate Purim, I'm sure they celebrate her name, her memory, her work, her effort, her influence. And hopefully they haven't lost the significance of it. It's like America in most places have lost the significance of Christmas and the reason they celebrate Christmas. It's all, you know, the gift giving. And that's what they do in Purim. They give gifts to the poor and so on, and they celebrate. But hopefully they remember the power of one who made the right choice, who made the right effort, and exerted the right influence, praise God. And she made the decision that honored God's plan, and it brought a change on a national scale. Wow. Can we have an influence on a national scale? I think we can. I think our prayers make that much difference. Amen. And we pray for our individual needs. We pray for our homes. We pray for our church. And thank God that's good. Go ahead and extend it beyond that. Go ahead and keep praying for the Congress and for the president. Amen. That prayer that we are committed to, we're praying for the leaders in Soldotna and the Kenai Peninsula and Alaska and the nation and around the world. It's not just a form. It's not just a routine. It can make a difference. Praise God. And thank the Lord that we're able to do the work of God. Evil will never triumph over God's plan. It will not. Praise God. And speaking of triumph, another scripture, Brother Jordan, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thank the Lord for the triumph that the Lord has in his work and his plan, and how that triumph extends to us as well. Okay, read, please.
Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place.
Okay, that triumph is passed on to you. He makes us to triumph. Praise God. And he makes manifest his knowledge by us in every place. Thank God. And I like to think of that being geographical, but I also like to think of it in chronological, in our time. Paul wrote that in his time, but I think it applies in our time. Praise God. In our situations, in our needs, in our circumstances, when there so much opposition to Christian things. We don't, here in our setting, we probably don't feel that resistance too much to Christian influence. But believe me, it is happening in our nation. It really is. And that's why your prayers on a national scale can make a difference. And then of course, around the world, your brothers and sisters do not have it easy. In India and Pakistan, they are paying a tremendous price. In the Philippines, in Asian nations, Vietnam and Thailand and Laos and so on, they are paying a price. In China, for that matter. In China, where what we believe is not allowed, but it's flourishing in astronomical numbers that we would have a hard time to comprehend. It's happening. And that's why your prayers can influence the nation and the world. And thank God, that's the power of the blood of Jesus to be manifest for us personally. And we plead that blood. That's in that prayer. We plead that blood. Praise God. And over our families, over our church, over the people we're reaching out to, and what we want to see changed in their lives and the hand of God. Nothing can defeat that. Praise God. And thank the Lord for tremendous victory that is going on. Brother Eichard sent me an email yesterday, kind of cute, that he included this little gem that Daniel slept in the lion's den. Peter slept in prison. Jesus slept in a storm. No matter what your circumstances, you can take a nap. it was just a little extra gem that he threw in there. But he did say they baptized another Trinitarian pastor. They're seeing light. They're seeing truth. Praise God. And Brother Mike was in contact with Pastor Jim Blackshear. And what was the report he gave you? This is in Europe. This is in Europe when Pastor Jim was over there teaching.
A group in the Congo that speaks French in Germany, they taught doctrine to one church, baptized the pastor, and the entire congregation received the Holy Ghost from Brother Robinette, who's going to be here next week.
The 19th, yeah.
And so now Brother Robinette has contact with that pastor, has 400 other pastors and congregations that Brother Robinette's going to meet with the 400 pastors and teach them how to stop doctrine.
Wow.
We know it.
400 from that one contact that has already been baptized, already received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And now that truth is going to be shared. And the missionaries in Africa and other places have report after report after report of this happening. The light is being shared and being spread. Praise God. And I'm sure Brother Robinette is going to have some amazing stories to tell us when he arrives on the 19th. We need to get this house full.
Yeah.
Amen. For that event. We've got a special speaker here all this week. Fill the house.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Brother Mike.
Brother Jim told me that they had, I think that was, they baptized him in a hotel, and it was like the third one they tried. Other hotels were refusing to allow them to do that, baptize that congregation, so they just kept looking until they found one.
Okay, there is resistance. You know, you would think, go ahead and use the pool. You were baptized in a swimming pool. So you would think they would say, sure, use our swimming pool and use our restaurant and get some rooms, you know, for your visiting ministers and so on. You see, you'd think they would be open to it. You know, have to move on and move on. I think the Lord's going to bless that hotel that allowed them to use a swimming pool. Praise God. Amen. And so we're praying for that. Praise God. Speaking of prayer, we better stand here and go to the Lord for Brother William. Things continuing to progress with his recovery. He did have some reaction to meds and so on that was a bit rough, but we're praying.